Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. I want to turn to one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, one of the most well-known. This is found in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 details and presents the Battle of Jericho, which we are all familiar. Joshua chapter 6, actually, or the battle itself, or the things we need to understand, begin actually in chapter 5. And in the 13th verse, it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" That's a good question. That's a question a good general, good leader would ask. The man said, verse 14, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" I believe this man here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was born, many, many years after this, he made appearances in the Old Testament. I believe he appeared to Abraham before the destruction of the five cities of the plain. And I believe he's appearing before Joshua before this great battle of Jericho. Now Joshua changes his tone. You're obviously for us. What do you have to say? Whatever you say, that's a good attitude to have with the Lord. What will you have us to do? Paul, that was Paul's question on the road to Damascus after he knew it was the Lord. What will you have me to do? Well, there's one thing that you need to do first, Joshua. The Lord's going to tell him. "Captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." The Lord said this to one other person before this. This was the man that Joshua replaced, a man by the name of Moses. When Moses saw the burning bush, and the bush spoke to him, and I believe that was an appearance of the Lord in that form. And before the Lord spake to him, he said, "Take your shoes off. This ground is holy. Whatever the Lord is, that's holy ground. It needs to be respected. We need to change our deportment and our ways and treat that as one of the greatest things that's ever happened to us when we can have an audience with the Lord. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. That's the first thing you do. That's the only thing. I mean, that's the one thing that you're going to have to do first. Let's get our spirit right. Let's get in a proper mode, a proper way of thinking. It's one thing I like about singing. Singing is worship. But it helps me get in a worshipful frame. And that's why I believe it's good for all of us to participate in the song service. I grew up saw a lot of preachers out there hard shelling and come in at the last song. I've never tried to be like that. They wouldn't like it if I came in when they were winding down, when they were about to dismiss. They wouldn't like that. So why would they come in when everybody else is winding down? This is worship. But it does get me, I should say, more ready to sing better, to sing in more spirit, to pray, to seek the Lord, to feel closer to the Lord. And hopefully that will bless the preaching service, that will bless the fellowship time, and that will lend itself to a better week. And so I need to acknowledge that what we're doing, this is a holy thing. This is church. This is worship. It's not a gathering. It is a gathering, but it's more than that. It's the house of the Lord, the pillar and ground of the truth. So let's get ready to what we're about to do here, Joshua. Take your shoes off. Acknowledge that this is holy ground. Then he's going to keep talking to him as we go into chapter 6. Well, we get a little bit of information before we hear what the Lord has to say next. Verse 1. "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. Now let's Jericho. Jericho's there. They already know the Jews are coming. They can see them. They've crossed the river. There's over a million of them there. They're not there to go on a picnic. They know that there's going to be a battle. And probably going to be a siege. Probably going to be a long siege. That's what they're expecting. That's why they built the walls. They're safe. They feel they're safe. We've got walls that are 60 feet tall and 300 feet thick. Nobody's ever been able to penetrate the walls of Jericho until now. Not only that, Jericho went on a lockdown. They went on a quarantine. They are sheltering in place. Nobody could come in. Nobody could come out. We went in lockdown to try to keep a germ out. Weren't really too successful at that. How successful are we going to be to try to keep the Lord out? Well, the Lord wants to come in. He's coming in. You can't stop him. You can't prevent the Lord. You can't prevent the Lord's will. The Lord is sovereign. But if you don't know the Lord, then you're going to have to know the next best thing. And there is no next best thing. There is no good thing against the Lord. But if you don't know the Lord, you think you've got something better. These folks in Jericho looked at their walls and smiled and felt good. Yeah, we know there's a million of them out there, but look at this. How are they going to get past a 60-foot wall? How are they going to be able to penetrate it? We've got the gates locked. We're not letting anybody out or anybody in. We've got plenty of storehouses. We're fine. Nothing to worry about. Now, Joshua and the Lord were up there. I think they're kind of up on a hill. So Joshua lifted up his eyes. He saw the Lord. He went up to him. So I think they can see a panoramic view of Jericho. Jericho's in lockdown. Jericho's locked up. Listen to what the Lord says next. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. I would say, okay, really? See, yeah, I'm looking, I'm seeing. You know what, I see walls. That's the one thing that the Jews, when they came in 40 years prior under Moses, they came back and said, they got walled cities. They got giants. They got walled cities and giants. They got giant walled cities with giants. We can't take it. Now here's the Lord. I can almost see him standing on the hill, beckoning his hand. See, look, I've given it to you. I've given you the king. I've given you the whole army. I'm giving you the city. The Lord says it. There's no guess. It's so. But if you walk by sight, you're going to be confused. You're going to misinterpret. You're going to look at things that are insurmountable. And they are without the Lord. As I have said for many years, life is too hard without the Lord. Life is too hard without the church. It's too hard. The Lord gives us things that make the impossible possible. I'm thinking about Elijah wanted the Lord to kill him. Take my life. The Lord sent him an angel. An angel cooked for him. Well, that's nice. I like that. I like it when folks cook for me. How about an angel coming over and cooking for you? That'd be all right. Yep. Make the original angel food cake for him. Said he made it. There's a cake right there. Don't you think that was good? I mean, I like angel food cake. It's better with strawberries, even better with peaches and whipping cream. And strawberries and peaches and whipping cream. That'd be all right. Imagine what this angel could do. Made him a cake. There was some water. He said, you drink it. Eat it. Elijah did the rudest thing in the world. Somebody comes over and cooks for you, and then you fall asleep. Fall asleep on them. Rude? Where's your manners? He falls asleep. He wakes up again. Guess what? There's another angel of food cake and another glass of water. And I like what the angel said. You eat this, the way is too hard for you. It's too hard. So you better have some gospel. You better have the bread of life. You better have some water of grace. You better refresh yourselves. With my friends, it's too hard. When the Jews first came in and crossed the Jordan River, they said, you keep your eyes on that Ark of the Covenant. You have not gone this way heretofore. You've never been here. You've never been this way. You don't know what to expect. You keep your eyes on the Lord. If you're going to walk by sight, then that's the only walk by sight that's going to work. You keep your eyes on the Lord. So, we've got a lot of Jerichos in our life. We live in this world. We fight the good fight of faith. There are disappointments. There's troubles. There are things that are insurmountable. Things that, like, I can't do it. I can't keep doing this. Or this is too hard. The Lord's already given you a victory, you just don't know it. If you look by sight, you see a walled city shut up and an army and a king inside. The Lord says, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do. So here's the next step. There are things we need to do. How do we subdue the Jerichos of our life? Well, trust God. That's step one. Take your shoes off. Holy ground. Acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge the church. And then do whatever he says, no matter how ridiculous it seems, because the Lord is going to give Joshua the most ridiculous battle strategy ever devised. Without God, guaranteed not to work. The most ridiculous battle strategy with the Lord is guaranteed to work. The most logical, well thought out, well planned, backed by experience, backed by knowledge, backed by intel, written down, without the Lord, is guaranteed to fail. The most ridiculous battle strategy, which has no strategy to it, really, but the Lord is the author of it, the Lord's going to attend to it, guaranteed to work. All right, Joshua, I've already given it to you. The Lord has told us through the gospel, I've already saved you. You're already going to heaven. In my mind, you're already glorified. But here's what you need to do now. All right? And it's going to seem ridiculous. It's not going to make sense. Try to make sense out of it, you'll fail. The Lord's ways are higher than our ways. All right. It's going to take 7 days to do this. It's going to take every member of your army to do something that they can do. You're going to do the impossible by doing the possible. The walls are coming down. I'm going to bring them down. And all you got to do is march around the city once a day for 6 days. That's all you got to do. Oh, and the priests need to be blowing on a trumpet. But they're fine. They're trained for this. They went to priest trumpet school. They know how to do it. They've learned how to. They're good. That's why they're there. That's why you're not doing it. That's why they're doing it. So they're going to be blowing on the ram's horn. The ram's horn. Y'all ever hear a ram's horn? You ever hear one? I mean, I've never seen it done live. But you can get on the internet and hear one. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like an old Baptist preacher. What do you mean? Well, it's not very pretty. It's not very melodic. It kind of assaults your ears. It's a little bit too loud. Sounds like a donkey braying. I'm a preacher. I can say these things. Sounds like an old Baptist preacher. There's no homiletics. There's no smooth delivery. I'm going to be honest with you. I get a little nervous when a brother gets up here. It's got a smooth delivery. I get a little nervous. That's my problem. Because that doesn't mean the Lord ain't going to help it. But what it makes me afraid of, you're going to depend on that delivery more than you are the Lord. Because I've been there, done that. It doesn't work. So you got all this, all these old Baptist preachers preaching. They can hear it. You can't help but hear it. You're going to march around the city one time for 6 days. Then you go back and you go to camp. You go back to the camp. How do you do the impossible? By doing the possible. By doing exactly what the Lord says. You see, God's saying to Joshua, I've given you the city of Jericho. To me, it's just like God telling me one day years ago, Dave, you're called to preach. That's just as ridiculous to me. Finally made a mistake, Lord. You finally made a mistake. Don't you know me? You know me. You ought to know me better than I know myself. You know I can't get up there and talk in front of people. You know I'm the most nervous, shy, bashful person that ever lived. Yes, it's true. Some of y'all have known me a long time. You know, it took Tom Owen with a crowbar to get me up here to lead at the Southwest Texas Association. It did. He had to get a crowbar and threaten me with a rifle to keep me up there. And I was so scared, I stayed up there and sang four songs. I violated the Texas two-step. I was too scared of him. I was scared. It's on tape. I've heard the tape. I said, you had four songs your first time ever at the association? Yeah, because Tom Owen had a gun at me. I had to do it. That's the only way they would have got me up there to lead. Too nervous. People, I don't like people to look at me. Sometimes I look at the clock. Number one, I'm afraid somebody's going to be asleep. And it makes me nervous. That's just me. It's a personality thing with me. But here I am. 35 years. It's been 35 years ago. It doesn't make sense, but it doesn't have to. This is the Lord. There are two things that these Jews need right now. They need two things besides the Lord. There's two spiritual traits that they need to exhibit, and these two things we need to exhibit. Number one is faith. 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 You believe God. God says, I've given you the city. I want you to march around it. Okay, all right. That's part of the plan. That's part of the purpose. I'm going to have faith that God knows what he's doing. Good. And then you need to be obedient to that. Obedient to that faith, obedient to that command. Faith and obedience is what wins the battles. The Spirit, the Lord, power of God, march around the city. Now, what were the people of Jericho thinking? What do you think they were thinking? I think they were thinking, they're gone nuts. There's no way. What are they thinking? I wonder what people think about Primitive Baptist. Same thing. You mean to tell me you're going to have a four-day meeting in the hottest part of the year? Yeah, it should be over. You mean to tell me y'all are going to enjoy it? Yes, we are. You mean to tell me, you're not going to send your preachers to preaching school? You're not going to have something special for the little kids? You're not going to have a piano or an organ to make your singing better? You're not going to pick the best singers to sing? A, yes, we send our preachers to preaching school. It's called hard shelling. It's called having to get through Mike Montgomery, Bill Walden, Clifford Goins, trying to get those guys to sign off on you. That's the preaching school. I had to go through it. Weldon Walker, George Walker, Hilton Crane. Those are my brethren, my father. Well, not Mike, but the other ones are. That's God's preaching school. You don't have instrumental music? Yeah, we do. It's called the harp. It's the greatest instrument ever made. You don't have a choir? Yes, we do. It's the entire congregation. You don't have something for the little kids? Yes, it's called preaching, praying, and singing. It's called church. That's what we got, because that's what the Lord furnished the church with. So we're going to be obedient to that. We're going to have faith in God. So that's what they did for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he says, I want you to go around seven times. Go around it seven times. And then on the seventh time, I want the priest to make a long blast. The long blast. Y'all remember back in the quote unquote good old days? When we have our associational meetings, and you know what? Is that Sunday morning service? Ooh, that was the time. Everybody stayed through Sunday. Brother get up there and he'd just preach, and everybody be crying, and then we'd sing the parting hand. Now, those were sweet, sweet moments. I'm not saying they're better than they are now. There's kind of a thing with that. Kind of a in the scriptures. What I noticed. I noticed trends. And one of the things that I've noticed is that the Lord always saves the best for last. Right? Best for last. And, you know, he saved the good wine. You've saved the good wine until now. You served the bad wine. Now you've kept the good wine. Amen. That's because the Lord made that wine. You know, heaven's going to be a lot better than this. Right? You know this? Amen, amen. Yeah, you know, heaven's going to be better than my preaching. It's a better be a lot more better than that. The Lord's got the best is yet to come. So we always were excited on that last day. The child I was looking forward to, because it was the last service. No more after this. Oh, I remember those parting hands. Man, those wonderful moments. Long blast. Joshua, God tells Joshua, shout. Everybody shout. Because the Lord has given you the city. Shout. Shout victory. Shout praises to God. And when that shout comes, you're going to see something amazing. The obstacles are completely removed. The thing that they trusted in is gone. The thing that you thought was a barrier is gone. I'm with you. Just do what I say and you'll see it. You will experience it. Do what the Lord says, and I'm preaching this to me more than anybody. Obey the Lord. You will experience victory in this life. Jericho's walls will go down. And it will cause you to look forward in faith on that last trip around. Last trip around, and you hear that trumpet blow, but it won't be the old Baptist preaching. It won't be the ram's horn. It will be the trump of God. And you'll hear a shout. It won't be us shouting. It will be the Lord shouting, because that's the day of the resurrection. The Lord's given you paradise. That's a reason to shout. That also works in a timely sense as we encounter troubles. And we need to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual and mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. We're going to pull down a stronghold, the walls of Jericho. And so they come up with a song about this. Y'all know the song? God fought the battle of Jericho. Amen. Amen. That's right. They said it again. They said it again. And then they say, and the walls came tumbling down. No amen on that one. No amen. I'm not going to amen that. But David, the walls came down. Right. But they didn't tumble down. All right. So here we go. The scripture said, let me quote it. So y'all know this, sure. But let me just quote this. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, what does it mean that the walls fell flat? First of all, no crumbling. There is no debris. They didn't just like you see it in the movies, lightning bolts strike the walls and pieces of rock start falling down, and then you've got this rubble that the army of the Jews had to climb up and down to get to the city. No, the walls didn't crumble, so they fell in one piece. Now, there's two. I've asked a lot of preachers what they think about this, and I've gotten two explanations. One of them said the walls fell outward. So it's kind of like a flower petal. They just fell outward, away from the city. You know what I thought when I heard that? I hope there wasn't any Jews under that thing. I sure hope not. Maybe I don't read where they were supposed to be given space between them, so I don't know. So then I heard another preacher I talked to, and this was Brother Clifford told me this. Brother Clifford said, I don't usually tell people to look at the center reference, but look at your center reference. I looked at it. He said, it said under it. He said the walls de-elevated. They sank down. They went down under the city. What does that do? No Jew gets hurt. No debris to climb over. All they do is just go right in to Jericho. And it makes sense because the scripture says the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So the walls came down, but they didn't tumble down. They sank down. How do you do the impossible? By doing the possible. God does the impossible. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Paul said, arise, get up, go to the city. Arise, get up, go to the city. Just go to the city. I'll tell you what to do later. You're not ready to hear everything. I'm going to tell you what you can do right now. Go to the city. Go to the city. I've constantly, and I think about Uriah the Hittite, who was told to dip seven times in the Jordan River, and he expected to go and conquer something, do something like the labors of Hercules, and he was upset. And then his servant said, well, if he told you to do something hard, you would have do it. Why not something easy? So he did it, exactly, and he was cured of his leprosy. When I first felt the Lord, my life, the Lord said, there's something I want you to do. I want you to be baptized. I want you to join the church. I want you to join the church. And I said, I can't do it. Why couldn't I do it? was too bashful. I was too shy. I was too nervous to get up in front of the whole church. And I fought it for 4 years. And finally, my little brother Paul joined the church, and the Lord said, okay, follow his footsteps. And that's when I joined the church. When I first started trying to exercise, keep it simple. Keep it simple. I won't say the other S, Sister Sarah, but you thought I was going to say that, didn't you? Keep it simple, Dave. Studied the book of John, the Gospel according to John. I spent like 2 years in it. I could understand it. I had a relationship with John that I could, he kind of spoke to me. Look at the fundamentals. Preach the fundamentals. Study. Elder Walden always said to me after I finished preaching, Dave, keep studying. Keep studying. No matter how good I preached, keep studying. I can do that. I better do that. I better keep doing that. Study. I like to tell this story. I may have told it here. I told it at Lavernia recently, but let me tell you this. I think I told it last time I was here. Get the tape of last month. It's when the Lord told me to shut up and drive. You know, y'all remember that story. Okay. You weren't here, then you missed one of the best stories I've ever told. And I'm not going to tell you. You're just going to have to never know it for the rest of your life. I thought I told it. It was here I told it, not Lavernia. So I get to tell it Lavernia next week. There are two things that Joshua told and said to the Jews when they got to the city. Number one, there's a house. There is a house there that's marked by a scarlet thread. Do not hurt anybody in that house. You save everybody in that house alive. Take everything else, save them alive. That was the house of Rahab the harlot. She saved the spies previously. And they said, all right, you let us down from the roof with this scarlet rope, this red rope. So we want you to put that on the front of your house, and that's going to distinguish your house from everybody else, and we will know to preserve it. Now, my question to you is this. What in the world is Rahab doing with a red rope? This is not in the Bible, so you can take it or leave it. Here's what I think. Why did she have that red rope? Or they call it the scarlet line. Because she was a harlot. This was the red light district. It's been that way for a long time. That's why the scriptures call her Rahab the harlot. That's what she used to know her house as a place of ill repute. But they said that one thing that used to distinguish you as a bad person, as a practicing public sinner, is now going to identify you as one meant for preservation and salvation. Bible says, though our sins be as scarlet, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet, my friends, those sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now that demonstration that we have is not of our sin, but of our redemption and our salvation from sin. The Lord told the Jews the night of the Passover, you put blood, the lamb's blood, on your doorpost. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over. My friends, we're marked by the blood of Christ. We're covered. We're under that blood. We're protected from the devil. We're protected from our own selves. We're protected by the wrath of God. From the wrath of God. By the love of God. And that's something we ought to demonstrate. Show the world. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed. She was a harlot, but she was a child of God. Rahab was saved, and all her family. And she dwelled among the Jews the rest of her life. And she married a man, I forget his name. I read that he was a high-ranking person. And she had a child, and they would have children. And on down the line, a king would be born named David, descended from Rahab the harlot. Later on, another king named Jesus, descended from the line of Rahab the harlot. I said Joshua told them two things. He really told them three. The second thing he told them was this: do not take anything from the city. Do not take anything. Do not put anything from this city among your stuff. Any silver and gold, it goes to the treasury. You keep nothing. The battle that we fight, the worship that we practice, the church that we are a member of is not for profit. Monetary profit. We're not here to get rich. We're already rich by the blood of Christ. We're already rich because He, through His poverty, has made us rich. This is not for advancement in society. This is not to be recognized in any shape or form to our credit. This is all for the glory of God. And anything that we have or that we have been able to gain through experience in our life, we need to cast that to the common good. Bless the people with it. It's not for us. Church, it's not about us. It's about God. See, you don't take anything. Now that's going to figure prominently in the next chapter. Because obedience, bless them this day. But disobedience is going to curse them on the next battle. They're going to lose because of disobedience. That's the second thing. Then he told them one more thing. The third thing Joshua said after the battle: cursed is the man that rebuilds this city. And then he gave a prophecy. He said, somebody is going to rebuild it. They're going to start it when their oldest child is born, and they're going to finish it when their last child is born. And in 1 Kings, I forget the chapter, but you can look it up, that thing very happened. Somebody came along and rebuilt Jericho. And Joshua said, that man's cursed, and he was. The Lord hated this city. There must have been a lot of wickedness going on in Jericho. The Lord says, you don't keep anything. I want it utterly wiped out. And I don't want it ever to be rebuilt again. And then somebody turned. When did it? Now, here's a gospel point. Here's a wonderful point. What do you think happened to Jericho, the rebuilt Jericho? What do you think happened? What do you think should have happened? Following everything that we know, what do you think the Lord's reaction would be? Well, I would think that He would just destroy it, just tear it down again. But nope, He Jericho, the rebuilt Jericho, stood. Later on, Elijah, he says to his trainee, his replacement, Elisha, he says, I need to go somewhere. You stay here. He says, No, I'm going with you. They get to that place. He says, I'm going to go to somewhere. You stay here. He says, No. So he goes with him. Gets to the third city. You know what that third city was? Yes, it was Jericho. That's what he says. I'm going to Jericho. I'm going with you. They get to Jericho. There's the sons of the prophets. I don't know who these guys were. I don't know, but they're mentioned. I get the idea. They studied under the prophet. I don't know. Elijah says, I got to go to the river. Jordan River, right there. I'm going with you. So, that don't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense? Well, the Bible, Joshua said, cursed is the man. But they were not supposed to rebuild this city. This city stands as a testimony to a curse. This really blew my mind when I studied this out. Lord Jesus going down the road, and he comes to, guess what? Jericho. He goes to Jericho. Right before, right at the gate of the city, he hears a man calling him. Help me, thou son of David. They try to hush him up. The more they hush him up, the louder he cries, help me, have mercy on me, son of David. It's blind Bartimaeus. And he gets healed. We got a song in there about blind Bartimaeus. That's happened at Jericho. Guess what? Jesus, the Lord goes into Jericho, walks into the city. There's people thronging him in Jericho. A man wants to see him. He climbs up in a tree. Man by the name of Zacchaeus. Jesus sees him. He knew he was there. Come down, Zacchaeus. For today, I must abide in thy house. Zacchaeus received him eagerly. They eat lunch. Zacchaeus says, Lord, half my goods, half of what I own, I'm donating, giving to the poor. And if I defrauded anybody in my history of being a publican, I'll restore them fourfold. Now, y'all know what Jesus says next? Here's what he says in the cursed city of Jericho. Here's what he says. Today is salvation come to this house. I thought it was a curse. Just like Rahab's sins were scarlet and turned into redemption. The Lord turns a curse into a blessing. And you know how he did that? By being made a curse for us. And so the cursed city of Jericho, the Lord says, to probably one of the most despicable men that lived there, but a man who God dealt with, gave him a heart of flesh, gave him a desire to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord invites himself to dinner at his house. Rude. Nope, that's the Lord. He owned the very food that he was going to eat that day. He owned the things that went into making that house. He owned Zacchaeus. That's not rude. Zacchaeus received him joyfully. Amen. 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 And salvation came to that house. I think it's a time salvation, a deliverance. There's joy in that house now where there wasn't any before. A wall just came down, didn't it? A wall came down and you can't even see it anymore. It de-elevated. It's gone. Where'd it go? Out of sight, out of mind. All my Jerichos in my life, I don't know where they are. How did I do it? Well, you, Dave, it was the Lord. What did I do? Well, maybe for once you were obedient for a change. You might want to make that a trend. You walk by faith for a while. Make that a trend. And understand that if any good thing happens to me, from me, for me, of me, God gets the credit for that. If this was a good sermon, it's not my fault. If this was a bad sermon, then it is my fault. If it's good, give God the glory. If you enjoyed it, give God the glory. If you enjoyed this service, give God the glory. Whatever happened this morning, I don't know. And I look back, you know, and sometimes things happen. You didn't know that they're going to become the Jericho that it got to be. Sometimes a good thing turns into a Jericho. A person in your life, a job, a personality trait, a quirk, some relationship. Maybe even somebody in the church can become a Jericho. You know how to get you want to know how to defeat it? Be obedient, walk by faith. And when those walls go down, and they will, shout. And don't forget it. Don't lose it. Because you know what's going to happen next. I'm going to tell you what's about to happen next. You're going to meet another Jericho. Sorry. You're going to have another problem. Sorry. Because in this world, ye shall have Jerichos. You will. Jesus said so. But guess what? Those walls were built for going down. Because God fights the battles. And the walls just go down. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine not knowing that? How depressed would you be if you didn't know that? I can get in the Mully Grubs better than anybody in this building. I promise you I can. And y'all are probably saying, no, you can't. We'll have a Mully Grub off one of these days. I'll beat you. But because when I get in the Mully Grubs, the plants die. The dogs howl. The sun sets. The moon is dark. And I shouldn't be that way. Because God has taken care of me every step of the way. God bless you. Thank you all very much. I don't know what time it is. It's 4:20, according to that. 5:20. See, now...